Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Coming up today on the Football Ramble.
It's totally different to, I would say, any other player in the Premier League coming back.
That film is so old. I know we're roundly criticised by each other for really dated references, but good God.
I thought maybe New Year, New Peter, but your highlight is a man getting run over and breaking a bone.
Am I a footballer, to be fair?
I see a ship in the harbour, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Even Stevens at Old Trafford and Kevin De Bruyne is back. It's Monday, 15th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Vidushan Hundaraja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hey! Everybody, it's Monday and Pete's back in the pod.
Hello.
Good to have you back.
I'm back.
And now it's very interesting, Peter, that you're back today, because today is actually Blue Monday, hence the opening lyric.
Is it? Right, it is. Okay, I'm here to make it better, yes.
You, and it's not only Blue Monday, everybody, because it will soon become Fireball Monday. It's bloody Pitbull's birthday. Can you believe it?
Is it now? I'm glad I came back.
In the
back.
Words of Martin Tyre, can you believe it?
There's a lot of people asking after you, Pete. I got a few DMs on Instagram saying, you know, where's Pete? Is Pete all right? I was like, Pete's fine. You know, just lying low before the list comes out. But he's fine.
Vish, you know for a fact I moved in with a rich family in a big mansion and I destroyed them from within. Slurping up big goopy bath bits.
Look, Peter, right. Your legal cases are your legal cases. Okay? Don't use this as a platform.
Has it coincided when Newcastle United with upturn with form?
Yeah.
I've arrived.
At 2-1, he went, oh, I'm coming on Monday.
Yeah, I fancy it.
You silly sausage.
Losing 1-0 at Luton, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'll stay at home.
Oh, dear. Well, before we get into all that goodness, a reminder that Saturday's mailbag is available to listen now. Jim joined Vish and I to debate whether this new look January schedule is finally the solution to the Premier League winter break dilemma. We also selected our wildcard spot for the England squad in the summer. I'd like to chuck in Anthony Gordon there as well, my goodness.
Yeah.
You can listen to that episode below this one in your podcast app. So then, highlights of the weekend. Peter, get us underway.
Well, I'm already looking down this running order and no one seems to be mentioning Dean Gaffney being run over by Wesley Fofana on a night out.
That was a highlight.
And if you think we're going to get away with not mentioning that, we're going to mention that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he only broke his collarbone, didn't he?
I broke my collarbone. Fell down the stairs.
Oh, so that gives you carte blanche to talk about others who have broken their collarbones.
Did Wesley Fofana lend a hand? I don't know.
I'd say it was a bad one.
It was a bad one, but he was breathalyzed at the scene. The police went, just sod off. Yeah. And he sodded off, so it's fine.
Have you got a match to go to?
That is so, genuinely so weird, like a meeting of generations.
I mean, Dean Gaffney has been out since 1995, hasn't he? Like, he's been out a lot. He's been out a lot.
He used to go out a lot in the late 90s and early
90s. Well, he's kind of like, who's that? Is it David Gandy? He's kind of like David Gandy through a frosted glass. Mm. You know what I mean?
If you don't know what we're talking about, bear with us.
You see, he's quite Gandhi-ish, but there was a fork in the road and he went one way and Gandhi went the other.
Yeah. Gandhi went on London Underground billboards.
Yeah, he climbed into his Jaguar like from the 70s.
Yeah.
And Gaffney went and just stared out drinking.
So I thought maybe New Year, New Peter, but your highlight is a man getting run over and breaking a bone.
Am I a footballer, to be fair? This is relevant this time.
Football, thank you.
This time?
Yeah. By the way, Dean Gaffney guest starred in the Extras Christmas special, the Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant show, in 2007, playing himself. Mm. Working in a car phone warehouse because he wasn't famous anymore.
There you go.
So that's 17 years on. Yeah. He's back in the mainstream.
Yeah. He's got his mention
under a car, but he's back in the mainstream.
He flew in the air. Apparently, it was a little while ago. This happened a little while ago.
It was just revealed.
No, it was revealed. I think. Yeah.
Oh, I see. All right. So Gaffney's laughing about it. Okay.
Gaffney's laughing.
Do you have any football highlights?
I very much enjoyed the opening goal by a Fofana.
Yes, another Fofana
in the Ivory Coast match.
Opening goal of the tournament. A former Fulham man.
It was a lovely hit as well.
Lovely hit. Stayed hit. Yeah,
you
see, my highlight...
I love AFCON, but it's just one of those things where it comes at a time when it's too much football. I can never get there. I'm always getting there the wrong time.
It's always like, you've got the post-Christmas blues and the thought of going on a big trip abroad. I can't be bothered. my highlight of the weekend was the opening weekend of the African Cup of Nations. A lot of shocks.
Mm.
A lot of shocks. Mozambique so close to beating Egypt. Mm. That would have been incredible. I mean, my particular moment would have been the second Mozambique goal because for celebrations and all. And then Cape Verde scored that second goal against Ghana, and they were off. They ran into the stands.
If you're going up the stairs, just stop. That's a yellow.
I think up the stairs, and they found that big West Ham fan who stopped them.
He's just laying out one after the other.
And Arsene Wenger was stood behind him with his arms open wide, going, "What's this? What's going on?" I'm a Ghana man when it comes to the AFCON, but my goodness, I couldn't begrudge Cape Verde that winning goal. What a
Ghana
shock.
Man.
Bananas meet Marcus eat a Ghana.
Is what you specifically call me. Vish, your highlight of the weekend?
Pure and simple, the feat of Oscar Bob.
Well, you've been talking about him for so long.
But
ends up here who'd never heard of Oscar Bob.
Mate. When he scored.
What the hell is even that?
That's exactly what I said. What the hell is even that?
Yeah.
What the hell has he just done? There was genuinely the only time I had previously heard or seen Oscar Bob, beyond like a few cameos he's made, was he did like a football video with a couple of YouTubers.
Oh, yes.
Right.
And I was like, this lad seems quite good. Mm. And also, he's got, he must have been in the country for a while because he's got quite an English accent.
Yeah.
I think he plays a lot of FIFA.
Right.
Because it was the kind of move where if it happened in a video game, you're like, oh, what are the chances?
No way,
1-2 touch in that tight space past the goalkeeper, he's going to take you out.
Like training,
actually, he did it. Yeah, it was gorgeous. And also just a presence of mind to do that.
Mm. Yeah, because Carlton Palmer? Cole Palmer? Very much Cole Palmer, scored a lovely one at Luton for Chelsea.
The little roll of the boot.
That was obviously quite a quick feat. And Bob saw that and thought, all right, okay, like that, is it? I'll show you. Yeah. I'll up the ante.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Newcastle United 2, Manchester City 3. And, I mean, Match of the Day did this because, they didn't do goal of the month, they did goal of the game, and they just showed all five goals on which is better. It was an extraordinarily good set of goals scored.
It was an extraordinarily good game, I thought.
Well, it was, yeah. And it took that man Kevin De Bruyne coming back to stamp his authority once again on the Premier League.
Very astute observation about his Simpson's hair. I mean, it's lovely stuff from
Andy Brassel
on it. Yeah,
yeah, didn't mention that in his match report for the Guardian though.
This is where he slums it.
Yeah,
this is his off mic conversations.
I didn't realize. Didn't realize they were the crumbs, Andy, that we were getting.
Yeah,
yeah. Where to begin? I mean, the first goal, I suppose.
Mm.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous stuff from Bernardo Silva, who I feel, I mean, Manchester City have kind of gone under the radar slightly this season, hence everyone saying, oh, here they come, they're coming back. Mm. But Bernardo Silva's been brilliant this season by and large. And that goal, Vish, oh, delightful.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's much that he can't do, really. I think, do you remember, I spoke about him earlier in the season, it might have been about 6 or 7 games in, that I think two of the best players in the Premier League are Salah and him, because he does a little bit of everything. And I think he, you know, there was maybe a point where it looked like, obviously, you know, Man City move on from Mahrez, you think, obviously, you know, Bernardo Silva can play out there, Foden can play out there, maybe it was one or the other. But actually, I think Foden has really come on, you know, to a different level over the last like couple of months. And in part, it's because Silva's just doing stuff elsewhere. And yeah, it's such a... He passed it into the corner, didn't he? Yeah. You know, a lot of times with that type of goal, when it's a flick between the legs, it's very much about...
It's a flick.
Timing. It is a flick,
than
yeah. It was a guide. He knew it was going in as soon as he made contact. Yeah.
It didn't have the sort of drip of desperation that move so often does.
Oh, he's going behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm lucky.
I think Solanke scored one this season as well. There have been a couple of goals like that, but that was the most controlled... of an absurd finish that we've seen,
yeah. Have you ever tried one? Because you're utterly ridiculous.
All the time.
Brilliant.
Genuinely all the time.
Because you think it's a really achievable thing to do.
And it goes, the ball always goes past you quicker than you think.
Totally. Yeah. And you kind of go, and everyone looks at you
should
as if to say,
that earlier.
Yeah, have a proper swing at it. Do you know what I mean? They look at you as Fulham fans looked at Raul Jimenez when he did that Rabona at Anfield the other night and go, okay, fair enough, you connected with that, but what are you doing?
Yeah, it's excusable if you paid £7 for the privilege of an hour of five-a-side of goals. It's unforgivable when you miss it when you're getting paid that much money.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, it's I find, as you know, I like to bring in international football as much as possible. But people aren't really mentioning Portugal that much for the Euros this summer. Some of the players have got, in particular him, you know, they're a threat.
I think they are, but the reason you don't consider that is because you always focus on the bloke up top who seems to be doing it for himself.
Yeah.
But by
who ever got up top these days? Is that guy still knocking around?
I don't know. Is it Joao Felix, the really selfish lad?
I think it's Pauletta, is it? It was the only forward they've ever produced, I think.
What's Eusebio saying?
I have no idea. Because he's dead.
Oh,
why did you bring
it down?
Not on Blue Monday. Yeah.
Did he get knocked over?
Yeah. Oi, stop that. A great
turn. Cecilia knocked over in outside a Mayfair night spot.
Is that the curse
that he keeps talking about?
I don't think that's ever happened.
I'm trying to hail a cab.
I'm willing to bet, yeah. Right. I would like to talk about Newcastle United's quick fire. Two goals that sent Ali McCoyston to orbit.
I don't know what it is about the colder months, but Ali McCoyst loves a bit of needle.
Yes.
He loves two players. Yeah. The Rodri Bruno battle that was sort of raging right throughout that match. And to be honest, Bruno Guimaraes has said on more than one occasion on different shows that he absolutely hates Rodri.
Yeah, what?
He's just really hard to play against.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I thought he was like personal.
No. He's annoying. He's actually said he's quite annoying. And I could see that, to be honest. But yeah, I thought that was going
to... I hate the music
he listens to. I thought that was going to spill over.
If I saw him walking in the street and I'm driving...
He doesn't like Kinder Buenos.
But McCoyst is absolutely loving it. And it was a really, really strong performance, I think, under really difficult circumstances in the first half in Newcastle. But yeah, I mean, they just... As soon as De Bruyne came on, it was just,
I loved about the two Newcastle United goals is that they got in behind Kyle Walker, which is...
Who was having a nice time going forward, but...
Yeah, you can get in behind him, but it's just like, not for very long, because there he is again.
Yeah.
But they managed to do
you
it.
You can hear him coming, can't you? Oh, God.
So they managed to do that, and it's almost as if Howe was like, right, before they figure it out, again! Do it again! And it was there. And yeah, Anthony Gordon, lovely finish.
It was sort of really fun to sort of see Ortega sort of take too many touches and sort of shank goal kicks out and stuff. I was like, oh, this could get fun actually.
Yeah, well, because Edison went off injured, of course, after colliding with Longstaff. But then De Bruyne came on and the game changed instantly. And it's not just the fact that he's the quality he's got, it is that psychological effect of going, all right, then how are you going to respond to this?
Yeah,
you know,
it's totally different to, I would say, any other player in the Premier League coming back. Maybe you'd think Salah, but when he was lining up there and, you know, Pep's talking to him and he's clearly such a good absorber of knowledge and information, hence why he's as good as he is. And as he was as he was talking to him, I was like, I wonder what he's telling him. And I reckon Pep just went, go on.
Yeah.
On you guys, son.
Yeah, it's football, isn't it? We love this, don't we?
Yeah.
And De Bruyne's like, just get me on. I can't be bothered.
I want to get on this dugout.
But also, I thought the really incredible thing is, having been out for so long, it was plug and play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
He was totally attuned to everything. And City have been playing slightly differently. Just came on, blended in.
Do you think that's how they should use him then, as an impact sub? He's done himself a disservice.
Maybe, actually, yeah. He only got a soul shot.
Yeah. But you can view it all. I remember, here's a niche reference, I remember Danny Wilson, I think it was, Sheffield Wednesday manager, just saying this to Benito Carboni when he was at Sheffield Wednesday, clearly the best player Wednesday had, and he was like, what we're going to do is we're going to bring you off the bench, so when they're a bit tired and when, you know, you can see the game, then you'll have your impact. And Carboni just left.
We're relegation
fodder. I'm clearly the best player in this team. What is going on? Not in that team. But the goal De Bruyne has scored, He
wrong-footed Dubravka from about 30 yards out.
But the way he it's that quite little shuffle.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm going to pass this, and if none of you get on the end of it, it'll just go in. So either way, we'll be fine.
He scored with an assist.
He gets an assist and a goal for that. But it's the way he sort of shuffles his body, because he does it in a way, and he hits the ball in a way into a corner, which you don't think he's going to do in that second. Where he suddenly goes, and you kind of go, bloody hell, because he didn't hit it with a huge amount of pain. It was a brush, quite frankly. He brushed it in.
I kind of feel sorry for him, because everyone called him Kevin De Bruyne for such a long time, and then he managed to sort of nail the De Bruyne thing.
De Bruyne.
The clever people do. But now he's been away for so far, everyone's forgotten again, so he's going to have to re-achieve that De Bruyne.
You could get Jermaine Jennis to do it for him. You know, try and get his PR man.
Yeah, Andy Cole next to him. When he takes the ball inside, he's scored quite a few goals with his left foot from that kind of range. And I kind of assumed that that's what he was going to do. And then he shapes totally differently for it. Before we get on to, I suppose, the winner, Richard Jolly wrote a really good piece reacting to this game in The Independent, basically talking about Newcastle's fading, basically in the period that De Bruyne came on, but specifically from the 65th minute onwards. So he came up with this stat, like from his own research. Newcastle have not scored a result-altering goal, so one that's either put them ahead or drawn them level, after the 64th minute all season.
That is very interesting stat.
And he makes the point that actually, you know, with all the injuries that Newcastle have, while they can put a first 11 out there, actually because of the nature of their play, but the fact that they're really back and forth, very tiring on the players that start the game. Mm-hmm. Even in a game where they don't have that much possession, because they put so much into it, you need those finishes off the bench.
That's right.
So it's not so much about like, oh, the starting 11 looks all right. You need the depth on the bench, which they haven't quite had.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Matt Ritchie. I'm here to solve everything.
but you almost felt like the winner comes from obviously an incredible through ball from De Bruyne and also, you know, wonderful feet from Bob, but also having to sit back and not really having the outlet that they would have had if they were able to bring fresh legs on.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've obviously Trippier's had his moments recently in Newcastle United.
He played very well yesterday.
Yeah, do you feel it's a bit harsh to pull him up for that goal? Because I mean, it was a pinpoint pass, but it does happen down his side, and he's perhaps just a fraction too.
I think fatigue just plays a massive massive situation there.
I mean, the thing is that the quality of the goal is the pass had to be that, but even when picking up the pass, there's still so much to do.
Yeah,
but the quality of that goal, because if Bob's miscontrols that or he has a lash at it or whatever, you kind of think, oh well, you know. But actually, I think we can say, oh, we talk about that pass. Yes, very much so, you should. But you need both bits of quality for that to go in. And they are the margins that you need at that moment in a game like that. So
Newcastle would still be disappointed, I think. There's no reason why a lofted sort of Gerrard-y kind of wrecked pass should make their way into the box like that.
But I mean, that is very interesting, though, the fact that the fan, I mean, you could even, you know, let's take the, you know, it's like their Champions League whole campaign, you know, if I'm going to sort of extrapolate it out, the first half of PSG was just high octane, incredible stuff. And you go through all the motions, and then the second half against Milan, towards the end of the game, they're just done. You know, like, you know what I mean? It's almost like a bit of symbolism in that. I don't know. But
the one thing I'll say about the Trippier thing, if he could have done better, I think Bob takes a bit of the heat off him.
Yes.
Because I think he would have been, I mean, I'm glad he didn't, but we've seen it over the last couple of weeks. Bob could have gone down there, couldn't he?
Yeah.
And then it becomes Trippier made another mistake.
I know what you mean. But to put Newcastle United season in the Premier League, particularly in context, they're now 10th. If Wolves win their game in hand and Bournemouth win their games in hand, then Newcastle will drop below both of those sides into 12th. You know, that's where they are at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it will be interesting to see, you know, in a month or two, because if indeed they finish mid-table, dare I even say lower half, no European football next season, you know, you wonder what the situation would be for Eddie Howe.
You sort of think that Newcastle have never been big buyers in January, but if I think Eddie might be feeling a little bit of the pressure, not that Newcastle can really do anything. I think if they can get some money for someone like Bruno, they'd probably take it in this window, like decent money, like 100 million, you know, pound money, because then they can spend. Was it 170?
Well, I mean, FFP.
Because of FFP, if it's weird. I was listening to another podcast where they were talking about it, and they were. They were saying that if they sell a player for, say, 50 million, they can buy a player for 50 million and also have like 35, 40 million to spend on top of that, because it's amortized over the length of the contract of the player.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite useful to. But the problem is they don't really have any academy products to sell, which would be the big.
They cannot sell any of their starting 11.
They can't sell
any.
But they will probably sell Bruno, I think, at some point.
You reckon? Yeah. That's quite.
It's going. It's going. Yeah. He's an excellent player, but it will be the most useful big chunky amount of money.
Yeah.
Because again, you're not going to get much money for Matt Ritchie.
No, not these days. Manchester City have opened a 3-point gap on title rivals Arsenal. With that result. They're still 2 points behind Liverpool, though. And we mentioned Arsenal because I do worry for them. They're currently on a winter break, but in Dubai, and Mikel Arteta was seen eating at Salt Bae's restaurant. It just doesn't end well.
Not just at his restaurant, eating off a fork that he'd poked in his mouth.
I know, it's all that sort of...
You don't have to do it.
Some
you
weird orgasmic experience.
You don't it's have just... to do it. Just because people
these
are
the hands that touch the World Cup, baby.
The thing is, I don't even think it's a knife that he's got. he's got. I think it's like a meat thermometer that Arteta is kind of like biting off the
people. I know that for you, that's not a knife.
like Errol Flynn running up and down
Crocodile Dundee
down the streets of Southend in my big jacket.
Yeah, you are right. I think that it is. What did you call it? A meat thermometer.
It looked like it.
I think that's what Salt Bae refers to his penis as, by the way.
Look like a meat does he? A meat thermometer.
Probably.
The salt
probably.
Spurts out the top of it. I would, like, I would say it would like this. I thought it, maybe it is. I'm watching it again. Maybe it is a knife, but it did look like a meat thermometer. So there.
Yeah.
It's all just a big shim. Is that his son doing the whole Salt Bae thing inside as well?
So. I bet Salt Bae drinks his own bathwater.
Yeah. moving on swiftly. Chelsea 1, Fulham 0. Disgrace. Cole Palmer. Nothing to do with Carlton. Scored another penalty.
He scores another penalty, which he helps win with one of the best reverse passes of the season.
It was a lovely one, yeah.
He scores another penalty.
I was going to sing his praises, but you jumped in there. To also sing his praises, it's fine. Praises will be sung if it's Cole Palmer we're talking about. But he's a wonderful player. And we spoke about him on the mailbag when we were talking about England wildcards and so on. But he really is powering Chelsea forward.
Yeah. He does so in such a... You know, the whole thing about he didn't want to leave Man City and this, that and the other. And what we know about Man City, and we'll use like Grealish as a broader example here. Someone who we've spoken about before, really, really entertaining at Aston Villa because he had a free role.
Yes.
Allowed to do what he wanted to a point. maybe took it too far off the field, but like, you're allowed to do what you want on the pitch. Comes to Man City and he, you know, has some of the edges shaved off, but by and large he's there because he's a technically proficient player.
It takes a season to bed in, really.
Yeah. And then it's like the other way with Cole Palmer, who would have been that, you know, come in and had to, like, you know, be a bit more precise in his play.
Yeah.
Goes to Chelsea, who are a little bit of a basket case coming out of it, but is allowed to, like, play, you know, play with the training wheels off to a point.
Well, totally. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, you could also compare him to Phil Foden in that Foden was very slowly brought into the side and Guardiola was singing his praises all the time. Can we see a bit more of this player? Now, you evidently Pep has got it right. I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. I'm merely talking from an, I suppose, like a emotional point of view.
Yeah, from our point of view, if you like. Yeah.
With
Cole Palmer, you do think to yourself, you know, when he left Chelsea, one could have thought, oof, okay. Sorry, when he left Manchester City, one could have thought, oh, okay, have you gone too early? Have you been a bit hasty? Does this suggest that maybe he didn't want to do the whole Phil Foden thing? You know, because, I mean, Pep made some comments about Jadon Sancho not that long ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and you could say, because, of course, if you have so much talent, I mean, normally with football clubs, you know, they say one or two is, you know, if one player comes through a youth team into the first team, you know, that's a big achievement. You know, it shows you how tiny the percentages are. Well, when you've got Manchester City producing players and so on, it appears that, you know, quite a few are coming through. And so was he too hasty? Well, clearly not. You know, Palmer is ready for the big time. You know, he's absolutely... you know, been brilliant for Chelsea and has been their player of the season. I don't think anybody would deny. And the fact is that, yes, as it's a bit of a basket case, it's kind of helped him in a sense because he's getting seen. He's getting game time. He's so, so crucial for them. But it was a slender win for Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea were probably good value for it, you know, in the end. But huge moment of the game was when Malagusto put in one on Willian. And, I mean, Marco Silva unsurprisingly thought it was a red card. But Pochettino... His comments post-match pretty much said, yeah, we were lucky to get away with that. I mean, how did you see that one?
Yeah, definitely. I thought so as well. I mean, he's done that. He's been sent off earlier this season for a very similar tackle, hasn't he, Gusto?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was... I don't really know why he wasn't pulled up on it.
Well, I mean, he got a yellow card.
Yeah,
but they
can still look at it.
Well, they didn't seem to look. I mean, I suppose
they did. So certainly they said on commentary, because, you know, we've had this discussion before about
It doesn't have to go to the big screen.
They get a feed through on commentary when stuff's being looked at.
Yeah,
and it's only when it's kind of it drags on a little bit and they have to stop the game that they'll put something on the big screen.
Yeah, sure.
So they said on commentary that it was being looked at, but I was very surprised. And actually, that would have been quite a big loss for them because I think Gusto's been quietly one of their better performers recently.
Mm.
He's clearly incredibly talented and seems to be finding his feet. But yeah, that was a little bit lucky.
Yeah. One of those ones where you don't want to see a player get sent off for it, but if you're the opposition.
But you do.
Very much so, yeah. Oh, I think retrospect, you know, punishment and maybe call it a draw. Point each. I'd settle for that.
I think you're starting the retrospect campaign.
Respect the retrospect.
Respect the retrospect.
Kenny Tete, Fulham fullback, was seen riding a line bike home from the game, which is quite nice.
There's sometimes you just, when you see like a footballer in a modest car, you sort of go, yes, good.
Kante
was one. It
doesn't
take much to sort. Yeah, Kante.
N'Golo Kante liked a mini.
Yeah, he did like a mini. He was seen riding a line bike home, which
it's
is
a shame he hit Dean Gaffney on the way home, but it was just a bike.
Very Dutch, isn't it? Yeah. Like it sort of goes, I have to ride a bike for him. He's going to be pushing CJ from Eggheads into a canal.
Is it? I think more Danish.
Danish?
So the Dutch like bikes as well. The Danes love a bike.
People Dutch, bike in Amsterdam.
Yeah, Amsterdam's a famous one. Whenever they dredge the rivers.
If you go into a
rivers,
fight, would he go windmilling in? That would be very Dutch, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Windmills.
Could open an excellent museum.
Okay. Well, fair. Well, we'll do more of it. Yeah.
Clog over the heads. How far do you want to go with this? If you saw a mouse there on the stair, what would you do?
I have no idea. Which could you tell me?
Pete, you're a line biker.
Yeah.
They're not comfy, are they?
No, not the way I ride them. One wheel.
Yeah, if you get
one wheel right next, I'm banging on windows on cars. Going, get me through! Yeah. Let me through!
I
got a turbo!
If ever I have the urge to go at Walton Towers, I just actually just get a backing from Pete. And it saves me a lot of money.
There's always a no matter which line bike I get, there's always a McDonald's in the front basket.
Yeah, that's because you buy it.
Oh, yes!
What's
the
like
correlation?
Look, it's appeared again.
People just always leave their rubbish in there.
You're the McDonald's fairy, aren't you?
Fairy, yeah.
At night time, if you see Pete riding around a bike in London, even though he doesn't live in London anymore, he still manages to do it.
There's another
chip or maybe even a McNugget in there.
There's another ride share company called Human Forest, something about sustainability or trees or something.
All right.
But the basket doesn't move as you angle around corners, and it's very disconcerting.
Oh, wow. So your hand can get like caught if you hold it.
Yeah, no, I guess it could, yeah.
All right. Go easy on the
I've been gaffneyed. I've done a self gaffney.
Oh dear.
He only broke his collarbone, Marcus. Stop being silly.
And it would probably have been fixed by now.
Exactly.
Fixed.
Long healed. A lady will be kissing it now.
Dean Gaffney had to,
in a VIP room.
In a provincial nightclub. Did you see a group of men started brushing their teeth in the crowd to promote the new film Argyle?
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed. I thought it was in homage to the bloke.
I thought it was
that,
as well.
That's
what
it was, but they're riffing on it to promote this film.
Mm. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay. No, but I thought it was just pure.
Yeah.
That's
right.
What I mean.
Yeah,
as in, it was just in homage to the bloke who was brushing his teeth behind the dugout once at Chelsea many, many years ago without the film bollocks.
I'd have loved to see them try that in the Shed End.
Yes, it was very much a Corbett taste, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
Enzo Fernandez turned up to training with a cat in a bag last week to promote the film because
it's
the central kind of
kind
of bit is that there's a cat in a bag on a train with a little sort of bubble, and Enzo Fernandez went training with the promoting this ball.
He didn't have to throw it in the river after.
But you know, Chelsea fans can't complain. They allowed the little boxes with the flame coming out of it. They allowed them to turn the lights off and on again.
Yeah.
At matches.
Well,
they wanted razzle dazzle. Now you got Dua Lipa in the stands.
True. I mean,
about.
It was Todd Bowley's production company who made the film.
Mm.
So there's
doesn't look like a bad film, to be fair. I always love a Rockwell.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Oh, Rockwell's in it.
That Poltergeist film is a bit rubbish.
Remake. I did not bother.
What's the one where he's on the moon? Is it the moon?
Yeah, I mean, loads of films like that.
What's wrong with the one with the Poltergeist? It's Poltergeist.
Yeah. What's wrong with the guns?
What about the Man Made of Iron? The second one. The second Man Made of Iron.
Pochettino said of all this, it's part of the spectacle. If it doesn't affect the professionals doing our job, it's welcome. For the fans, it's nice. It looks a very, very good film, the film. All right. Well,
he said, I hope I get invited to the premiere.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
Just asked to be in the film.
Just turn up and go, I'm a Premier League manager. Does that count? No, it doesn't. Sod off. Before we go for a break, everybody, there was big news in League One this weekend. Reading's match against Port Vale was abandoned after 16 minutes on Saturday after home fans invaded the pitch to protest against the club's owner, Dai Yong. And now this has been an ongoing thing at Reading Football Club for many, many years. It's a dire situation. I mean, they've had heavy point deductions in recent years. They've had the minus 4 points this season, I believe. Financially, they're all over the place. I mean, I think they were given a winding up order. Was it in October? Something like that. But the ramifications for this is some people are saying they might have to play a number of home games behind closed doors now as a result. I mean, Vish, what did you make of all this? It's a pretty desperate situation, and the fans are clearly fed up with it. Or fed up with it doesn't even get to the heart of it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, more power to them. I was quite encouraged by the reaction to this from, I suppose, other supporters.
Yeah.
People
can get quite hand-wringy, can't they?
Yeah, exactly, and a bit holier than thou. But, you know, the Port Vale fans were applauding them and, you know, loads of other fans, you know, I suppose, not by coincidence, also in League One, who have also, you know, gone to the wall in some way, or at least, you know, managed to stop just before.
There has to be a recognition that it just happens to have happened to them. It could happen to any.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I
think that is heartwarming. Or heartwarming.
Should our kids get now?
Yeah. And like, you know, Dai Yong as well is someone who is, you know, he is actively trying to sell the club, but they've had so many issues over the last couple of months. For example, they've lost their catering staff at the their training facility. They have, as ever with these institutions, you know, it's the people lower down that end up feeling it. So there have been loads of redundancies as well. There was stuff, you know, reported at the start of the year about players not being able to stay in hotels for away games and stuff like that. And to be honest, no one went to that game thinking, right, we're going to go on and stop the match being played. No one would have bought a ticket to that game wanting to do that.
Yes.
But it's got to the stage now protests of walking through Reading and anything else you can imagine, you know, the tennis ball protest as well. This is what it came to.
Yeah.
And you could see, if you watch the video, you could see by the way it starts. It's a few fans, a couple of fans sitting on the centre circle and more people get involved.
Yeah.
And it's...
Which is incredible, because this is not... It was like all as one.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, if you think about previous protests, it's very well sort of, well, organised. Not that I'm saying this is disorganised. That's not a criticism, if you see what I mean.
No, of course. Yeah.
There's an organic feel to it, perhaps. And I found that really interesting, that there would have been people there, as you say, no thought of perhaps doing that, and thought, no, I'm getting involved in this.
Yeah, I thought it was really powerful, and it's exactly the kind of thing that gets wider attention. We're talking about it here. More and more people are going to be talking about it in the week. I thought it was actually really well done.
Yeah, everyone in the country now knows what's going on there.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Things like, I'm looking behind you now, look at the buffet they've put on for yous. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The food at this club is unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I thought my previous club did amazing things in the kitchen, but wow.
Oh, welcome back to the Football Ramble. Tony Mowbray back in business at Birmingham City.
I was really annoyed that the cameras didn't pan to the buffet.
Yeah, I was as well.
Show us.
Sorry, go on, Marcus.
I like Tony Mowbray. I don't know why, but I like him.
When he played that saxophone at the FA Cup semi or something.
Oh, yeah. It's just stuff like that.
Just stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see...
Chocolate bar? Remember the chocolate bar business?
Oh, yeah. What was
when
that?
When he got a chocolate bar, it was his top... Was that Tony? I'm pretty sure that was Tony Mowbray. If it's not Mowbray, forgive me for
Mowbray
that.
Mowbray sounds like an off-license you would buy a chocolate bar in.
Yeah.
You go, oh, Mowbray's.
Did he come up with Tony's chocolate? You know the
Tony's Chocolone.
Tony's Chocolone.
Yeah.
Tony Mowbray's Chocolone. It's just a big nose.
Yeah.
A big chocolate nose.
I'm going to say no.
big chocolate nose.
But I think it's something we should look into.
Speaking of ill-advised food choices, which we kind of were talking about the reverse, producer Finn went to watch the Man United Spurs match, which we'll come on to talk about, no doubt. But he had the full reign of the buffet, and he ate like a lot of chicken.
Yeah, what's he doing?
What is he doing?
When he told
producer
us that,
Finn, what are you doing?
Yeah, when he told us that, I thought, stand by the toilet, mate. That's,
I don't think he listens to the ramble, you know.
No, I don't know how he produces this show. Either that, or he just saw Patrice Evra just getting off with like lots of chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Like, want a bit of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, sometimes you know, like a.
It's either this or you.
Is it Bingley Mega Chippy? You know that viral chip shop where it wasn't actually good, but there was a song, so loads of people went, and it wasn't necessarily because they were going for the food, but they would eat the food.
That was such a big kind of. I should really know that song because it was around quite a lot, but no, I can't really.
Did they play it on Absolute Radio?
I don't think so, no.
Only once, no repeats. No.
Yeah. Hence you left in protest.
So I wonder if he went there and thought, well, I know it shouldn't be done, but I should try the medium rare chicken.
Yeah, that's true. I should, by the way, say thanks to friend of the Ramble Jam Hands for choosing that clip. I just thought that was relevant. You can become a friend of the Ramble too.
Oh, Marcus.
Go over to patreon.com/footballramble. Jam Hands provides us with a lot.
You know when you can judge someone on the company they keep.
Yeah. I'm still going through with it. Anyway, Manchester United 2, Tottenham 2. Marcus Rashford scored his first goal at Old Trafford since May. Roy Keane called it sexy football.
Mm.
Is the world gone mad when Roy Keane is using the word sexy?
I guess it depends, I suppose, where he's doing it and why he's doing it.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, blistering start to the game. I think Rashford was perhaps inspired by Rasmus, because he was sort of dilly-dallying a bit in the box, lost it, and then perhaps, and then Mr. Hoyland, just give it here, bang. Yeah. Beauty. That's what you need.
Yeah, I mean, Rashford, God bless him, almost ruined that opportunity by taking a couple of steps inside, got tackled by Romero, I think, and then it fell to Hoyland.
He gets his assist, however he bumbled it.
I don't think he does, actually.
What?
Yeah, because I think the touch was from a Spurs player. I think it was Romero.
Oh, fine, right.
Into Hoyland's path. Really well taken,
beauty.
Like confidently
absolute
taken,
beauty.
Yeah.
Is it good to see him among the goals, or does he just need to...
Or would you rather he didn't score?
Hoyland?
Rashford. Just
oh, he needed it, didn't he?
Well, I suppose maybe...
Was that a convincing performance, though, for you, Marcus?
Well, so this is the thing, isn't it? So, you know, a lot of times with forward players, you're like, get a goal, get your confidence back.
Yes.
It still felt like he was playing in a bad dream.
Mm.
You know, he was like slightly, he would slow everything down when he got the ball on the left. He would take one too many touches. When he went on the outside of players, he was always trying to bang it in on his left foot and often running out of play. Mm. There seems this weird thing, even the Nottingham Forest game where he scores, doesn't play that well, scores a lovely first time finish.
Yeah.
And again, here was a lovely finish and a good return pass from Hoyland. There's still a lot of work there to be done. And I feel like he needs a coach to come in, a specific coach, just and basically just work on him.
When you say a specific coach, have you got someone in mind?
No, but as in like an attacking coach. Okay. I don't necessarily mean a head coach. I mean someone specific to what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
If there is like a left wing coach in existence, like someone like that, do you know what I mean? Like who can really groove those moves, because it feels like he's playing on memory.
Maybe you should give Gary Lineker a call, because apparently Patrick Bamford said recently that he gave Lineker a call and went, can you give me some tips of being a striker? And Gary Lineker said, no one's ever phoned me for this before. Who are you? How did you get my number?
That's quite interesting.
Yeah,
because Barry Mudd, he played 30 years ago and he mainly spent most of his time in the six-yard box.
Peter.
What? What?
And a fine striker he was too.
Patrick, all I do is, if you ever chest it and you're with your back to goal, just turn around and volley it in.
Yeah.
Cheers. Yeah, no, I'll try that on the weekend. Yeah.
I never did it, but I think you might be able to. I think you're right in what you're saying about Rashford. As in, I agree with you. But I mean, a goal, especially at Old Trafford, where he hadn't scored for so long, it's always a good thing. Like when he goes home and he replays the match in his head, he has that moment.
But he's still getting criticised for the work rate that's not always been there this season. He's criticised for just not having that kind of intentional impetus for a 13. Was he on 300k? Like it's he's the most handsomely paid footballer at Manchester United, and he's not knocking them in for fun, is he, this season?
No, and I think it's symptomatic of what's going on at Manchester United. Because again, in this game, despite both forward players scoring a goal each, Spurs will come away thinking they should have won it. I mean, you saw the managers that, you know, their comments were interesting. I mean, Ten Hag said that he was annoyed at the two goals that were quite soft. Possibly. But I mean, if you're a Spurs fan, you probably think that that Hoyland goal was a bit soft. You know, perhaps he might have dealt with it. But then Postecoglou, on the other hand, after the game, said he was delighted with his team's performance. And with Spurs, you know how they play. You know how they do things. And for better or for worse, that's what they're going to do. It will excite the fans. It'll excite the neutrals as well, by the way. With Manchester United, you know, Gary Neville was bemoaning their lack of style. And he was like, I still don't know what it is that they're doing on the pitch.
Yeah, and I think the thing to say with Spurs is if they had one of their players who are currently out injured or on international duty, they win that game. And
I mean, Manchester United have injuries themselves, but yes.
They do, but not to the scale of Spurs.
Right.
Especially the importance of those Spurs players. Right. And like, actually, you know, obviously Van de Ven coming back, you look at that back four and you're like, wow, that is a prop. Where's this come from?
Yeah.
Who have you nicked this off?
Well, and I know it seems silly to mention James Maddison because he's out so long. But so important to this Spurs team this season. I mean, he was so good at the start of the season. People were saying he should be starting for England, and Jude Bellingham went, well, I'll decide. How you fit them in, you know, that's how good he's been.
Yeah.
And a crucial player, and almost like their Kevin De Bruyne. Ridiculous as I know it sounds to after only a couple of handfuls.
Not really,
of
if you watched how he was playing and what he was doing for Spurs.
Yeah.
Spurs have a really good, like Bentancur coming back in and starting this game and scoring that goal and... like a proper glider as well. And then you think, right, so Bissouma, Matessar, Maddison out.
Yeah.
Kulusevski out.
Werner in.
Yes. Yeah. That was fun.
Mm. It was exactly as we thought it would
go. Yeah. It's nice to know, even in this room where we talk about many different things, like even just today, Dean Gaffney, Salt Bay drinking his own bathwater.
Yeah.
Set out that game.
Totally.
That Werner played. And you're like, oh, that seems about right. Mm. Got an assist.
Didn't get a goal. That one where he screwed it wide.
Yeah.
I thought to myself...
On his left foot, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, but I thought, oh, come on, Timo. Like,
we've seen this.
Yeah, we have.
We've seen this before, mate.
Yeah, like...
Think of the memes, man. Come on.
Think of the memes. Why did he should channel a bit of Frank Lampard there. Like, just shoot at the defender. It might deflect in. Maybe that's a strategy. I don't know. I hope he does well, because if we start slagging him off, then he'll definitely score a goal that will eliminate England from the Euros in the summer.
I did not think of the long game.
Careful. And what happens now will definitely affect what happens. That's how life works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I think it's I think he's an exciting player. I think he could play a role a little bit. Not as spectacular, of course, but a little bit like a Darwin Nunez in that. Maybe not. I mean, obviously Nunes brings the chaos, but I think Werner, especially if he came off the bench, because he's covering for Son, you know, will he start games?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But he does provide energy. He provides something, and he'll create and his runs that he makes and so on. It is just that lack of goal scoring touch. I think he's a good player. There's no doubt about that. So I think that could be his role for Spurs. You know, in the months to come when players come back. So Jim Radcliffe was seen watching the match next to Sir Alex Ferguson with David Pleat just behind them.
I saw that.
Yeah. Nice to see David Pleat.
Nice to see him anywhere.
Yeah.
Looking well.
Not anywhere. We don't like to see him in certain...
Lurking in the background.
Why did you make it sound like he does that? Yeah. Not a lurker, is he, David Pleat?
Not now.
No.
Not anymore.
No.
I think after a while your record gets expunged.
You cannot say that about David Pleat, surely.
What do you mean?
He's 79.
Yeah. Right.
Right, no.
Okay. We're not saying... Ask Wrighty.
Yeah, ask Ian Wright, yeah. So Jim Radcliffe was there, and, he's happy with a point, perhaps. I don't know. But his investment...
Brushing his teeth, reading a book.
Dressed like Superman. I've got a new film coming out.
He took his top off. He had a message underneath it. His investment in Manchester United is expected to be officially confirmed in early mid-February.
Oh, hurry up.
Yeah, it's bollocks, isn't it?
Come on.
Maybe with owners, they should have a window as well.
Quite handsome for an older gentleman, isn't he?
What, David Pleat?
Jim Radcliffe.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Jim Radcliffe.
He looks like he was a looker back in the day.
Yeah, I'd have that, yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. His eyes have gone to shit, but everything else is top notch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd like introduce him, if you're a son, you'd introduce him to your girlfriend, and he'd like start hitting on her, but like in a dad way.
Yeah, yeah, kiss your hand. Kiss her hand.
Well, I don't know if this
kiss
is.
Your hand.
I don't know if this
he's
is.
He's going to watch out for Radcliffe, he'll kiss your hand. I want to kiss your hand. Oh. We don't sign players like that, we kiss your hand.
We don't do have contracts, we have hand kisses. Is he American?
He's from Manchester.
I don't know whether this kiss is your hand. Related, but he did joke before the game saying, we hope they don't find anything dodgy in our CV. Well, moving on swiftly, let's draw a discreet veil.
He's a chemical engineer, I didn't know that.
He wears a lot of waistcoats. He loves a waistcoat, that lad.
Maybe he's from that he's of that generation where, you know, you get to a point where you just wake up and put on a suit.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe he's one of those.
Yeah.
I think our generation will, I mean, Pete's kind of wearing a blazer.
Yeah, Pete's always quite smart.
I'm just like Mark Henry, the wrestler.
Like
all that salmon, salmon thing and body slam CM Punk.
Sexual chocolate over there.
Sexual chocolate.
Okay.
Pete Donaldson.
No, go on. You're going to ask if we, our
generation will get to that stage. I don't think we will.
I'm going to start, I've told you before, I'm going to start calling myself Major. I'm going to wear medals that I've stolen.
Yeah. Good.
Have Falklands. I'm going to find some Falklands medals.
You're going to walk you around your garden for charity. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Vish, you have carte blanche at 100 years old to walk me around a garden for money.
Nice. Can I open a spa?
You can open a spa.
And live
it's
happy.
It's good to have him back, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. If he's not talking about broken collarbones, he's talking about death. Mm. Yes. Oh, did you see Jadon Sancho got an assist just 22 minutes into his second Borussia Dortmund debut?
Do you know the thing?
The thing is, though, these kind of, you sort of think, oh, well, maybe he's just not played that much. No, he's going to be fine. He's going to have a lovely time. I love it.
He can turn up late, apparently, at Dortmund. Apparently, that would, like, you saw some of the, you heard some of the comments that were made about Sancho, and they said at Dortmund, basically, they gave him a bit of a blank canvas.
Oh, really?
Pep Guardiola said a couple of things about Sancho, and who was the other footballer? I can't remember who it was, but they were in the press saying that he was quite an individual case and didn't respect the rules too much. He basically, look, let me do what I want and I'll put in performances for you. And Ten Hag is a bit like, no, that's not really how it works.
So that's where Niall Ranger could have, if we'd indulged Niall Ranger more for turning up to stuff like
that. Do you not think he was indulged enough?
I was about to say, yeah. I would like to comment on that.
That's too far, Peter. You've mentioned death and all kinds of stuff. That's too far.
But I do want to talk about Burnley 1, Luton Town 1. A lot of controversy about the winning goal, the equalising goal, sorry, here, because Carlton Morris got it to earn Luton a point, a very late point, and ruined Burnley's clean sheet in 3 points. Company was furious that the goal stood because he believed that Adebayo fouled James Trafford in the build-up. I too believe that. And I think
a lot of people do, to be honest.
Alan Shearer didn't, funnily enough.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as he elbowed him in the face, and even if he had, I'd like to see the footage, please. What did you think, Peter, about this one?
I agree with you, Marcus. I don't really know why that wasn't pulled back, but what I don't even know where we are right now.
Do you think VAR are going, let's be a little bit careful?
Winter break. They're on the winter break.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. They all expect us to give a foul.
I thought we had another week off.
Expect the unexpected with VAR.
I'm not a narc, but I was like, come on, that is ridiculous. I think goalkeepers get away with too much as it is, you know, going down the merest, you know, hint of contact. But
he clearly blocks him.
Yeah.
It's a clear block.
And it, like, you know, I suppose it's smart from Adebayo because he gets away with it.
Well,
but
I mean,
also,
makes the referee, you've got to make a decision.
Yeah, but also, like, oh, if you'd have done that and the goal was disallowed, you've kind of lost the chance there.
Trafford would have got it. He'd have got something on it.
Yeah, but that was so confusing.
I can't believe it wasn't given. And Company is right to be furious because that would have been such a huge 3 points for them.
And I think from Burnley's perspective now, they can use that fuel of, you know, being wronged and take it straight into their away game with Man City at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Which is their next Premier League fixture.
Oh, dear. Well, at least Burnley have signed David Datro Fofana. We mentioned him the other day. They've got him on loan from Chelsea. Another Fofana.
So many Fofanas.
There's an awful lot of them. This Fofana, though, was announced by Burnley editing Fofana into the film E.T., continuing their trend of unconventional announcements.
If I am his agent, I'm getting the hairdryer treatment here. He played for an absolute basket case cursed Union side.
Yeah.
Then came here, missed out on AFCON.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and now he's got a child saying, "I found him. He belongs to me." Just weird.
When modern football gets it wrong.
I mean, and also, that film is so old. I know we're roundly criticised by each other for really dated references, but good God. He probably did say yes, because he's like, oh yeah, I'm probably as important as The Godfather, isn't it?
They should have edited it into Keystone Cops.
Yeah, or at least hide him in a cupboard and put a wig on him like the bit in E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But what was the... I don't get the relevance, though.
No.
There's nothing. It's just bollocks.
I just think they're in the Premier League now, and the social media editor's going, they've finally given me an After Effects license, and I'm going to bloody use it.
How far do you think he's going to go with these references? Someone's going to announce a player before the January transfer window closes. Like,
if you're talking about old references, on The Shining, superimposes their head over, here's Johnny moment.
Yeah.
He's here. Yeah. I bet that's already been done.
Or impose onto like the Magna Carta. How far back are we going? But it's true. Yeah. I mean, I think E.T.'s a bit of an overrated film as well, but.
Yeah, really?
That's another discussion altogether.
You're a Mac and me man, aren't you? That Pepsi vehicle.
Look, he doesn't have the right papers. Get rid of him.
Yeah. If he could afford a phone call to his mum.
There we are. But yes, a point shared. Burnley versus Luton. A point shared also, Everton versus Aston Villa. Unai Emery's first ever 0-0 draw in the Premier League.
That seemed... He's been...
Save it for a non-televised game, Unai.
Yeah, exactly. That's 3pm fodder on a Saturday.
3pm fodder. Yeah. That's what we refer to it now, is it? The TV generation over there.
Oh, put this one behind the blackout.
Stick it in the 3pms.
Yeah. I know. Well, I mean, the reason why it was a 0-0 was because of Emi Martinez denying Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Great save then to follow up as well. I loved his little... He did a couple of little fist pumps quickly.
He's good for that.
Yes, but there's an attack still. So I've got
Calvert-Lewin missing that one-on-one, though. Like, that was so... What great opportunity. And he just hit it straight at Martinez.
Yeah, Martinez obviously guessed, but he spread his body.
Yeah.
Got on his head.
It was a great piece of goalkeeping. But Villa missed the chance to join Liverpool at the top of the league. They had a chance previously, didn't they? A number of weeks ago. It's like, oh, come on! I know that if you get top, it's a bit like being, ranked number one at, I don't know, golf, tennis, whatever. You don't get a trophy for that.
You don't want it, though. Because then you'd be shot at.
I should say that if you are ranked number one when the season finishes, you do get a trophy. I should be clear.
For that 1 millisecond you get a...
But it would just be nice for Villa to sort of experience what it's like to look down upon everybody.
It's like musical chairs.
A little bit like musical chairs.
A little bit like musical chairs.
Yeah. Well, that point ensured that Everton are just a point above the relegation zone, of course. Luton do have a game.
A bit.
Yeah. Luton do have a game in hand.
Points at watch.
On them. Well, Everton, alongside Nottingham Forest, are expected to be informed today that they've been found in breach of Premier League profitability and sustainability rules for the 3-year cycle to June 2023.
Oh, another one, is it?
Yeah.
Another ladder to climb off.
Both of them could be deducted points. I think that would be a victory for Everton, would it not? Ah, we're used to this. Forest, come down, join us.
You know when they got the email, sometimes when you got an email with with exactly the same subject, it just slots in underneath it.
Yeah, they missed it. Yeah.
They didn't press the tab.
This one's from today. What?
Oh no. But that's damning for Forest though.
It is, but I mean, but presumably not as damning for Everton. I mean, sorry, more damning for Evan because they've taken such a long time to climb out of the last one they got.
I think this was always in the offing for Everton, and they're gonna.
Is it per clause? Because obviously Man City, I mean, we don't know what's happening with them, but because there's just been so many.
For a long time.
So what you should do is just do loads of them.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, this isn't gonna get sorted out for 10 years.
it's relating to it's like a year-on-year thing, and one of the things they're trying to do now is get the punishment in the same season, as it were, rather than waiting for...
Okay.
I think there's a cut-off point in the middle of May, I think. Mm. Maybe actually the third week of May. Mm. But Everton kind of knew this was coming. I think they have their case, certainly the case they're going to put forward in hand.
Right.
And Forest are essentially using the Brennan Johnson sale, which is obviously in a different cycle.
Yeah.
But they're putting that forward as this would bring us in line with that. So... obviously there is the threat of further points deduction, but I suppose we'll find out more in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but it's always sad to hear on this because football clubs are not being run as they should do, and obviously who suffers? The fans, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great shame. Let's finish, though, with something a little bit more lighter. The new season of Gladiators launched this weekend on British television. Mark Clattenburg is the new referee.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
He's got to work, hasn't he?
What's that? What happened to that Scottish man from the 90s?
John Anderson.
Yeah, John, he's quite old, isn't he?
Can we check if John Anderson is?
He's still with us. He's still with us. Yeah, I know that for a fact. Weirdly,
why do you know? Yeah, why do you know that?
I was editing an episode of Spots On where they mentioned it.
All right, okay.
Out now.
Yeah, Clattenburg. Yeah, so they. I mean, are you worried that did you want a Scotsman? You know, gladiators ready.
Yeah, I think that they've got that kind of authority. I think, and Clattenburg just looked a little bit out of place. He looked a little bit unsure of himself.
Big shoes to fill, though.
I like very much that the gladiator kind of like give him a bit of needle.
Yeah, he should have sent him off for me.
Just sent him off. Yeah,
exactly. It's just because you know, grassroots gladiators are going to see that and then have a go at their own referee.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, on the Sunday.
On the Sunday gladiators.
When they're running up the Travelator.
Yeah. Could we see Clattenburg do that little lizard licky thing that he did in the Champions League final?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Between the Madrid sides. When he did a foul and then he got his tongue out.
Will he get a gladiator's tattoo?
Possibly. Quite possibly.
Probably only has one as Jet, doesn't he?
Ah. Deary me.
Or Wolf.
True.
Yeah.
Both very relevant.
Boo. Remember booing Wolf, the gladiator.
He was on the front cover of the Spectrum video going Barbarian with a glamour model.
Oh, and that's a perfect place to finish. Thank you for listening
to the sod.
Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Myself and Vish will be back on Wednesday alongside Jim and Luke to talk to you more.
Yes! Come on! Let's pull this one out. Come on, you can rescue this.
Oh,
come
dear.
On.
There's going to be...
What's even that?
Come on, Marcus.
There's going to be more football, and we're going to talk to you about it.
you just got gaffneyed.
Yeah. Follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Vish.
Look up your collarbones.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Petey.
See ya.
See you soon.
It was only later on that the 45-year-old soap star found out about the driver's identity. Fofana was also reportedly unaware of Gaffney's identity as well. No fucking shit.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.